Welcome to Ignite Your Confidence for women in leadership who want to speak up and stand out. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Here you'll get all of the tips and tools that you need to stand out with unshakable confidence. Let's jump in to today's episode.
All right. Okay, folks. Well, I am particularly thrilled about this guest today, Roya Beshear, because she has become near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Roya, and have you tell us about who you are.
Okay, well, I'm excited to be here. My name is Roya Beshear. Karen and I know each other because we're both involved with TEDx Minneapolis. So I'm the executive director for TEDx Minneapolis. But my day job, you know, I work in the biotechnology industry. My parents are Sudanese. My family is Sudanese. And we moved here when I was 5 years old. As immigrants, we won the visa lottery and were able to come over. And yeah, I grew up in Minnesota and then left for college in California, stayed there for some years, started working at this startup. Now it's not so much of a startup, this biotechnology company called Akoya Biosciences. But yeah, I'm just thrilled to be here. I was telling Karen earlier, I'm kind of nervous about this, haven't really done anything like this, but you know, we've had great conversations. So looking forward to what comes out of it.
Yes, we have. Well, I am so happy you're here. And as I told you before, it's a conversation between the two of us and maybe 25,000 other people, but no need to be worried.
Yeah, about no pressure.
No pressure. Well, first of all, I almost have tears just thinking about you even saying we know each other from TEDx Minneapolis, because you know my story that I tried to be a speaker, or I applied to be one, got the call back, and then didn't get it. But then so much more happened as a result of that. That is one of those things where I go, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I want to talk a little bit more about you and your confidence, and then a little bit about TEDx. So that's the direction that I'd like to head. And thinking about you, I love how you said, you know, and you had this great smile when you said that my parents were immigrants and came to this country. And I'm really curious to think about when you were a kid, related to your confidence, how did your confidence grow from being a kid? Or what would you say was instilled in you as a child, especially as parents of immigrants?
Yeah, I really like that question, actually, because I feel like I've had kind of a journey, maybe different, or maybe like most people. When I was younger, you know, I really found a lot of comfort and really confidence in school. So, you know, academically, you know, I moved here when I was 5 years old, you know, hardly knew any English. And was in ESOL classes for, I think, less than a year before they took me out of ESOL classes. And on my standardized tests, I was scoring really well. So academically, I was doing, you know, well in school. And it was really, you know, a matter of my teachers recognizing that and recognizing that potential, and then kind of lifting me up from that. My parents, you know, they didn't know the school system here. So, you know, it was my teachers saying, oh, we think Roya should be in GATE classes, or like the gifted and talented education classes. And, you know, it was just really fostering for my teachers. I think we got really lucky growing up in Rochester, Minnesota, because there was a great public school system, just a lot of support. And it was a pretty diverse community at the same time. You know, I did find myself in those classes where I think maybe like, I don't know, third grade or so, I look around, I'm like, wait, I'm the only like colored person in this room, right? So you like, I think there's a moment that everyone kind of realizes that aspect of being a minority. But yeah, it was really a matter of my teachers kind of instilling that confidence in me. I'll never forget, I had I think it was my seventh grade teacher, Miss Neymark, I would say. I stayed after school once. It was like the only time, you know, I was very active participant in classes. But she basically like looked at me and she's like, please promise me that you're going to do biology like as your career, because you're just so great at it. And so it's like, you know, it always came externally for me, I would say.
So I'm sitting here thinking about what it's like. What you said was very powerful. That moment where you look around and you go, wow, I'm the only colored person here. What was that like?
in many places in this country and in others, you know, people will very blatantly feel discriminated against. And I never quite felt that growing up, right? I think it was later, maybe in high school, where those kinds of biases really started for me to become more salient. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention as well. But, you know, it was just, I realized that I was a minority, but at the same time, it didn't feel like it was something that was holding me back. You know, so it was a, you know, it was just a realization. And, you know, learning about things in school, learning about slavery, learning about civil rights, you know, some of that started to come into perspective. But it almost came from that rather than discrimination that some people might feel first. So I feel like I was extremely fortunate in my upbringing and kind of how things laid out for me. Because a lot of people don't get that kind of fortunate experience.
Yeah, I was wondering that if it was more of an observation, because it didn't sound like a point of pain or something for you.
Yeah.
It's more of a realization.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. And then, so it's of course curious about the career that you're in. Did that have any influence? I know biotech is a little different, of course, than biology. I don't want to share my ignorance here too much because I don't know a lot about all of that.
No, they go hand in hand, that's for sure.
Okay. So yeah. So talk to us about that. How did you choose the career that you're in today?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up in an immigrant family, you'll hear this story over and over again. Your parents expect you to be a doctor or a lawyer, or maybe an engineer. My parents didn't really want me to be an engineer because I was a woman. So I basically had doctor kind of thrown at me from a lot of different angles. And that was my plan, right? I loved biology. I loved life sciences. So, you know, it felt very natural that I'd go into that. And when I started college, you know, I was pre-med, took all those classes. And then I started doing research in my third year of college. No, my second year of college, I think. Yeah. And so I was in a neurobiology lab doing, you know, primary biology research on with a fish species. We looked at social behavior and the brain and kind of how things work together. But, you know, I started to really enjoy research. So my trajectory kind of changed to that path. So I was planning to go and get a PhD instead. You know, maybe one day I would become a professor or something like that. So from that, you know, I graduated from college. I had my bachelor's in human biology, and I ended up taking a gap year. So I started working for this biotechnology company, and it really became, again, those external forces where I was planning to just take a year and then go back to school for graduate school. But, you know, the people around me kept telling me, like, you don't need a PhD. Like, if you're going to stay in industry, you're capable, you're smart, you know, it's, there's a path for you here without a PhD. And so, you know, that kind of bug got into my ear and kind of just ended up staying actually at the same company essentially since that day.
Wow.
But yeah. Now I'm kind of exploring the business side of the industry a little bit more because it really is, you know, so many things are businesses in this world, and these kinds of businesses and biotechnology, they actually allow, you know, these discoveries and these cures and these diagnostics and, you know, better ways of treating patients to happen. So it's a really, you know, fulfilling path to be on.
That's wonderful. Well, how did you get involved in TEDx then?
Yeah. So I moved back to Minnesota to be near family about 2 years ago. And, you know, I think it was probably, you know, 9 months, 12 months in, I was starting to get more settled. And I wanted to get back in my community. So that's community service was something I did a lot of in high school and something I really loved and was passionate about. And so, you know, I was keeping an eye open to a volunteering gig of some sort. At the same time, you know, I was watching TED Talks and I ended up finding TEDx Minneapolis. So just so everyone understands, TEDx events, so there's a lot of different TEDx events. They're all independently organized, right? There's TED, which is the bigger organization, and then there's these TEDx events that, you know, people get together and decide they want to put one on, and they get a license from TED to be able to do this. So I found TEDx Minneapolis, and I, you know, was looking for the next event just to go to it. And then I also saw they had opportunities section. I'm a very opportunistic person. So I clicked on that and I saw that they had an executive director position open. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And it was kind of like a, okay, let's go big or go home and see what happens here. I did not think I was going to get it, but you know, after some interviews and really kind of clicking with the team, it felt like a good fit. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The rest is history.
Tell us about the part related to you applying. I love that you, like you said, you're opportunistic, you jump in and applied. What did you have to do to apply? Like, it was a cold application, basically. You didn't know anybody,
yeah.
Right?
Nope.
Okay. That's amazing. Yeah. And then you got the call back and then you got it. And when was that you started?
That was May 2021.
Okay.
No, May of 2022.
Yeah. So just a little, like a year and a half.
A little over a year.
Like that. Okay. Yeah. So of course, tell us everything behind the scenes. No, everything. That's a big question. What would you say is the biggest challenge? Because I've learned a tremendous amount just in the last few months. What would you say is the biggest challenge of putting on the event and or in your role, if you're willing to share that? Either one.
Yeah. So, you know, TEDx events in general are all going to be very different from one another in terms of how the organizations are set up and run. There's a couple of kind of essential basics. You know, having like a speaker coaching team is a common thing. Not all TEDx events or, you know, talks will have that behind them. But so TEDx Minneapolis is pretty special in that it's a long running event. So it's been going on since 2014, if I have that date correctly. So, you know, they've done events every single year since then. A lot of them will, you know, someone will, you know, want to volunteer and do this for a couple of years. And then, you know, the team will kind of decide they don't want to do it anymore. And then that event goes away essentially, right? It's an all volunteer team. Mm-hmm. So everyone on the team is a volunteer. And, you know, the great thing was just, you know, the leadership is really excellent in this team. And people are just very passionate about making this happen. And we're lucky to have had people who have stuck around for a long time. So our previous director, Ariane, she was part of the team for 8 years, right? She
Wow.
was executive director for 5 years. So it's really like, it's amazing for me to think of that, because just in this past year, right, like just thinking it's a decent bit of work to make this happen. Especially because I think one of the biggest challenges is, you know, it's an all volunteer team. So,
right.
But it sometimes will feel kind of like work, right? You know, things have to happen, you know, by a certain deadline, you know, these obligations, we have these tasks need to get done. And so it's a matter of kind of balancing, you know, taking care of the people, because that definitely is the most important part, right? Without the people making this happen, it wouldn't happen. So, you know, just trying to balance and, you know, being able to pick up the pieces when it's needed. So, you know, having a bit of variety in terms of skills and learning new skills. I learn new things every day, basically, or how to do new things. So it's, yeah, it definitely pushes you and stretches you a little bit in this role in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny to me is, you know, I never had a director position before, right? So it took me a long time to kind of figure out really what my place was in this organization in a way, but you know, with some time and, you know, slight bit of strife as well, just kind of trying to figure out the boundaries and how people work together. And, you know, it all came into place.
Well, you're so wonderful to work with. And since I've joined the team, I will tell you, it has been so much fun on so many levels. Now, you mentioned something earlier about how not every TEDx, I mean, like you said, they're all independently run, so they could do whatever, I guess, based on the relationship with TED and the license. But tell us about the speaker coaches. So it sounds like not everybody does that. Not every mm-hmm. TEDx. Yeah. So say yep. more about that.
Yeah. Not every TEDx group has coaching, but you know, the good ones, I think, realize how much difference that makes. I think genuinely that our speaker coaching team at TEDx Minneapolis is kind of like a hidden gem of this group in a way. It's just, it's been amazing to watch the trajectory this past, you know, six or nine months that we've been planning this event. And it's amazing just the connections that people make, like the coaches and their speakers. But, you know, just, I don't know, you were at the last speaker checkpoint we had, and it was just, I don't know, just such a good, positive, joyful feeling that came out of everything. And, you know, we have speakers who are quite experienced, right? They mm-hmm. give talks for a living, essentially.
But right.
Everyone gets something out of the speaker coaching process. You know, we just find the nuances to just make it a little bit better. And, you know, in the end, it's their talk. They can take it or leave it. But just being able to hear the different perspectives in the room, so powerful.
Yeah.
And I am thrilled that you are one of our speaker coaches, Karen. I mean, the expertise that you bring, the expertise that other people in the group have brought. I mean, it's just an amazing thing to witness, because I'm learning from you every day how I can be a better speaker, right? So it's really a wonderful experience.
Well, I will tell you my experience, and also I'm going to jump in here just in general, because I know the audience that's listening really wants, everybody's always curious about behind the scenes, and mm-hmm. I will never forget. So for everybody's reference, I joined the team as I would call myself a general speaker coach, meaning I was not assigned to one speaker because I came in later in the process. So what's really cool about that, in my experience with the first meeting, so one of the checkpoints where the speakers were giving their talks, doing their run-throughs, it was so easy to integrate into the group and jump in with my expertise and giving feedback. And there was a little bit of direction given about being positive and that kind of thing, but in advance, but not a ton of like, here's how you do, you know, here's how you be a speaker coach at TEDx Minneapolis, and you better stay within these rules. It just organically played out. And for me, the power, the overall power goes back to the Maya Angelou quote that people will never necessarily remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And I remember two things about the feeling component. Being there, feeling so included right from the get-go, from the team itself, themselves, and then thinking about the experience for the speakers, feeling so lifted up. Yeah. Even with the constructive feedback, every piece of feedback is given in love, honestly,
in
service. That's how it felt. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have been very fortunate in my career to be a part of teams that give feedback like that. So I didn't think much of it. And that's why at lunch, it occurred to me, this could have been a completely different experience. This could have been, well, Karen, you know, you don't say anything until we talk first. You know, I mean, there could have been a lot of different things.
Definitely.
Or, hey, speakers, you got to do this. You should have done that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how everything truly is in service, and the empowerment of the speakers, the reminder I've heard a number of times by the speaker coaches or you or other people on the team to say, this is your talk. At the end of the day, this is your talk. So I have to second that and just tell everybody too, if you're interested in anybody listening, go for it, apply.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how many amazing ideas there are out there. And in the spirit of confidence, just go for it and see what happens, because you never know. It's like that whole,
Absolutely. You
miss 100% Absolutely. Of the shots that you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. If you don't apply, you'll never know, right? You'll never know if it could have been possible. And what I really love about TEDx Minneapolis is, you know, we really are looking for that idea worth spreading. Right? You know, the charisma of the speaker, you know, things like that play a role into things, but it really is, you know, what is that central idea worth spreading that you want to share? What is that idea that you want to share? You know, TED stands for technology, entertainment, and design. But, you know, in the past several years, it's gone so way beyond that. But what has remained is that it's always about ideas we're spreading and sparking global conversations. So we look for what those are that could be. And, you know, it might be someone who does have 20 years of speaking experience. It could be someone who has never talked in front of an audience. We have a 16-year-old actually as one of our TEDx speakers this year, which it was just, you know, it just, everyone, it clicked with everyone that, no, we need to have this. We need to have.
Yeah, this. She's incredible. And she went to my high school.
Did they? That's awesome.
So fun. Well, thinking about what you look for, what we look for, I can say that now, for with ideas. So you mentioned sparking global conversations and that kind of thing. And really, is it worth spreading? What advice do you have for people that are submitting an application specifically to either Minneapolis TEDx or in TEDx in general?
Yeah, I would kind of bring it back to that service piece that we were talking about. And just, you know, I think a lot of people that we end up hearing from or that apply really want to tell their story and, you know, like how they got to be where they are. And a lot of times that fits in to, you know, the foundation or the plan of the talk. But, you know, I would say until you have figured out for yourself what is that idea worth spreading that you want to share, you know, it's kind of pointless to apply in a way. So it's a matter of, you know, figuring out what is that thing deep inside you that you've kind of internalized and that you live with kind of every day or, you know, in these situations. But what is that thing that you want other people to also know or to also consider? Or that perspective that you think they need to hear. So, you know, the general aspect, I think, is something we see a lot, but it really needs to come down to what is that kind of central thing. But other than that, I mean, yeah, if I think a lot of people will also be at the point of like, maybe they have that. And I, you know, I've went to people and I've seen them talk about something and I go up to them and ask, you know, do you want to apply? I think you should apply. Like, I think there's an important idea here. And so a lot of the best talks we get are referrals, right? Someone else hears their idea worth spreading. And so they come to them and ask if they would apply or, you know, share their information with us. So, you know, I would also say, look out for those people and encourage them to apply. Yeah, but it's just, it's a wonderful community in the end, because in the end, you know, people are doing this for the good of others. You know, TED Talks, TEDx Talks, why I wanted to get involved particularly is that they have the power to change lives. Mm. They really do. So just keep that in mind for yourself, that you sharing your story, sharing your message could change someone's life.
Mm-hmm. That's really powerful. And that's a good reminder about thinking about how does your story connect with
Yeah.
The idea, how would this help other people? Like you said, be in service. And that to me is something that when I coach people in general on speaking, a lot of times we get so focused on ourselves and our story. And of course, to us, it's amazing. But mm-hmm. How can you translate your story to why anybody else would care, to be really
Absolutely.
Candid? And what would really make a difference in other people's lives? And I feel like, Roya, I know that I've shared this on social media, but not everybody that's listening to this might have seen those posts. So I feel like I do want to share quickly about my story, because I think it's important for people to know, and especially in the spirit of the theme of this year's Minneapolis TEDx is intersection and connection. So for those of you that don't know the story, I applied to be a speaker. I got a call back, had an amazing interview with Megan, one of the curators. And then I got the dreaded email that nobody wants to get saying it didn't work out. But I was going to be in Minneapolis that week, so reached out to her, asked her if she wanted to have coffee because we had such a great connection. We got together. And then from there, I offered to volunteer. And that's when she said, well, you know what? I think it might be, you might be a really good fit for the speaker team, but I don't have, you know, that's something that's up to Drew. So she introduced me to Drew. Then I met the volunteer coordinator, Kim, and from there ended up being a speaker coach. And frankly, to me, I feel like it is such a good fit. And then I was so moved when whoever or whomever nominated me to be one of the MCs. Absolutely unbelievable. Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So just to kind of piggyback off of that, opportunities, right? Like there's opportunities in so many different places and you won't know them unless you, you know, just take that risk and, you know, ask this person for coffee. You never know what'll come out of these connections, these intersections that are made. We were talking about that at the last speaker checkpoint as well. You know, the speakers are like, you know, we never would have met each other because we had a little get together afterwards. Never would have met with each other if it wasn't for, you know, this TEDx event. So it's just opportunities are everywhere.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to end. Opportunities are everywhere and you never know unless you ask. That's absolutely beautiful. So everybody hear that. Ask, ask, ask. Look for the opportunities and seize them. So Roya, where can we connect with you? Or let me ask you first, and we've got to run here, but is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you would like to share? And then tell us where we can reach you.
Well, I do want to share, tickets are available. The event is on August 12th. So I think this is airing just a little bit before that. So if you go to TEDxMinneapolis.com, you can find where to get tickets there. We have an amazing lineup. It's a beautiful venue of Orchestra Hall in downtown Minneapolis. So it's going to be an incredible event. I would say, I do want to add, I was kind of starting to go this path earlier when we were talking about where I got my confidence as I was younger. What's interesting to me is, you know, as I got older, I think I'm still finding my confidence now, where I am now. And it's, you know, I think as you get older, you start to doubt yourself a lot and imposter syndrome and all these things come into play, right? So just, I don't know, just, I think it's a matter of trusting your gut a lot of the time. And so I'm trying to do that more, right? And trying to follow that intuition a little bit more. And, you know, Karen, I love that we've connected because I feel like I'm learning so much from you and it's helping my self-growth. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for asking me to be on. And you're a gem. It's wonderful to be connected with you.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same way. So awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Roya, for being here. Oh, and where can we reach you? Well, you've obviously talked about Minneapolis TEDx, but if anybody wants to reach out to you personally as well. And I also want to actually, for the record, since this will live out through eternity, that this will launch on August 9th, 2023. So the event is August 12th, 2023. So most people are going to listen to this between around August 9th frame. So definitely everybody get your tickets because that venue is also stunning, not to mention the incredible speakers.
Absolutely.
So where can we reach?
Yes. So I'm most active on LinkedIn actually. So yeah, LinkedIn/Roya Bashir. You'll find my profile there. Feel free to follow or send a message or connect. Yeah, I am on Facebook. I don't go on it very much, but yeah, just look me up and you'll find me.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
And that's a wrap of another episode of Ignite Your Confidence. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Thank you so much for listening. If you loved today's episode, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps other people find the podcast faster, and it certainly helps me. If you're interested in more tips and tools around confidence, please join me over in my Facebook group called Ignite Your Confidence with Karen Laus. Remember, you too can stand out with unshakable confidence.